the question was, is how long should you witness to someone? Well, I want you to go to Galatians chapter 4. The Bible said after the second and third admonition, reject. But with your loved ones, you're going to do a little bit more than that because you love them. And you know what the fruit of the Spirit is, right? Maybe we ought to look at that in just a little bit in Galatians chapter 5 since we're in Galatians. But we go to Galatians chapter 4 right now and read with me, if you will, in verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now, you know, when you start to witness to somebody, I can tell you 99% of the time, they're going to put up a wall. And they're going to defend themselves. And they're going to be offended by what you say. I mean, how is it that you tell somebody that they're not any good? No, not one. How is it that you can't offend somebody saying there's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, that all have sinned and you're a sinner? I was listening to my daughter today on the telephone, and she's decided she doesn't believe what we believe. That's interesting to me. She proved the grace of God. Why? We all want to do what we want to do anyway. Amen? Isn't that part of the problem of sin? It's about I, it's about me, it's about what we want. What is covetousness anyway? I want this, I want that. I mean, we're all absorbed with sin because we are sin. And so when you go to witness to somebody and you start to go to Romans chapter 3 and you take your Bible out and you read to them, you're going to make that person mad. You're going to make that person upset and distraught. And, you know, they're going to accuse you of becoming, why are you attacking me? Why are you the enemy? And see, that's exactly what they, and you know what they want you to do? Quit witnessing. But if you quit witnessing, their chance of believing is very low. Why? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So they don't have anyone to preach, and they can silence the preacher or the person preaching. Guess what? They just won. Because you're not accountable to error. You're accountable to the words of God and the things contained in the word of God. Does that make sense? And so as the vocals go out, the gospel call goes to everyone. I've always been amazed in preaching. I've got up and I've preached and I've preached and I've preached, and there are hundreds of people in the audience at some of these conferences, sometimes 400 and 500 and 600 people in the audience, and one over there will get saved. And maybe one over there gets saved. And you know what's weird is there are people that walk out of that room lost. I've had people literally come to our church for years. We had a lady that came one time. I believe her son is saved, but she came and she testified, and I believe that lady's still lost. When I heard her testimony, I believe the woman was lost. And you say, well, how could she hear that truth over and over and over again and not receive it? Well, I can tell you how. The hardness of the heart. That's why. Terry and I were talking the other day about Brother Moore and his effectiveness as a preacher. You know what Brother Moore did? He broke your heart in two. He had the ability to take whether it was concrete or mud or adobe and rip it to shreds so that you really saw with inside yourself exactly what was going on as a human being. It was amazing. He had an incredible ability to do that, to show man what he really was. And I've watched men get saved. I was in Louisiana one time, and about 14 to 20, I think maybe 21 people got saved at that Bible conference. And some of those people thought they'd been saved for years and years, and yet that message went to them and pricked their heart. and I saw people get saved that I thought had a testimony of salvation, but they were faking it. We do it all the time. My son wrote us a paper, Jason, and he said he'd make up dates from one day to another just trying to convince us. Well, folks, you haven't got to convince us at all. Back in around 87 or 88, I preached on, there was a book that my dad sent me. It was 88 Reasons Why the Rapture was in 88. And I joked and I said, you know what? It could be. And I had people in that church, you can ask Larry, people were trying to convince me that they were saved. Well, here's the thing. You don't have to convince me. God already knows your heart. You're not here to convince me. You know what? If you're trying to convince me, I'm the wrong person. Listen to me. I don't even care. That's not my job. My job is not to make you believe. My job is to preach the gospel. It's God's job to make you believe. And listen, let me tell you what. There's nothing I can do to save you. Period. Nothing. I don't have the ability or the capacity. I can preach the gospel. You know what God's called me to do? Preach the gospel. I'm going to preach the word. And in doing that, I hope you get saved. Go to Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, I want you to start in verse 9. Romans 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. Who? Jew and Gentiles. That includes everybody on the human race. People ask me about Gentiles are uniquely different people. Well, in that case, he should have mentioned a couple other people there. Amen? Why did he only mention Jew and Gentile? If that's all there is. I had a guy try to prove to me that Gentiles weren't blacks and on. No way. They have before proved, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. How many? All. And that there is none that as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. How many are righteous? And anybody righteous? You think you know somebody righteous? They're faking it. You know what that person is? He's a sinner. In righteous, there ain't none good. There ain't anybody righteous. Well, how do you hear that without a preacher? So over on this side of the thing, what do you got to do? You got to preach to an ear. It's all about hearing. How do you speak without a voice? You got to have a mouth. And that mouth has got to say words that the ear can hear and understand. Go to Nehemiah 8. We're coming back to Romans 3. Go to Nehemiah 8. If you can't find Nehemiah, go to Ezra and go toward the back of the book. Right next to Nehemiah. Nehemiah 8. Interesting thing here. People ask me all the time, when is the point of salvation? Well, how young can you be? Well, this is what you got to do. Did you find Nehemiah? Oh, it's a miracle. We've got a miracle going. Nehemiah 8, watch this. And all the people gathered, verse 1, themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation. Listen to who was there. Both of men and women and all that could hear with what? Upon the first day. You see, I can't tell you, people say, well, how about a mental retarded person? Well, do they have understanding? Well, they may. I can't tell you that. But whoever has understanding is accountable to the gospel. Does that make sense? That when I preach the gospel, when I'm preaching salvation by grace, when I'm preaching the blood of the finished work of Calvary's cross, the blood of Christ, and when I preach that, if you can understand it, you're responsible for it. Go back to Romans 3. As I said earlier, before we started the class, I would think it would be very weird for someone to be saved and never witness. Why would you do that? Has such a precious gift that's available to anybody who will call upon the name of the Lord, and you don't share it. That would be weird, wouldn't it? Talk to your children? No, I don't know. Well, I'd talk to them. Wayne talked to his and they all got mad at him. Welcome to the club. You know what? I'd rather my children be mad at me and know that I've witnessed to them than to be happy with my children and watch them go into hell. Get excited. Absolutely. You get excited. Dale, just so that I don't know if you can hear him on the internet. I don't know if the mics are on since Wayne's not over there. But Dale said, you know, when you get saved, your eyes open to the scriptures. It's a fact. Things that didn't make sense. In fact, Terry was talking about the verse. Where was that verse you were talking about? Romans 8. Where he talks about if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His. And he says, know you not that you have the Spirit of God? And Terry was thinking to myself, well, how do I know I've got the Spirit? Well, if you're asking that question, guess what? You're lost. Hey, have you ever read the Scriptures and they're confusing to you? Yeah. You know what that is? A lost spirit. Can I say that again? That's a lost spirit. If it's confusing to you, you're lost. It was confusing for me for years. I'm telling you, I'd read the scriptures and I'm like, I mean, I got the stories of Daniel and the little lion den and Joseph and the multicolored jacket. And I got all those stories, but I never understood the Bible. It's not a matter that you don't understand them. It's that you can now see them when they're taught and things like that. Why? You have the Spirit. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Another thing about being right on that side of the thing. Hold on to Romans 3 because we're coming back. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm sorry, 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The last part of the passage. I'm going to start in 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. For God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are to bring to naught the things which that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's not the passage. I did want to. I realized halfway down. Verse 14, 1 Corinthians 2:14. I'm sorry. I got down in that passage and I realized, nope, I was right in 2. I just thought it was in the 20s and I realized 2 doesn't go to 20. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the what? They won't accept them. See, the natural man can't receive them. I don't get it. That's confusing to me. Well, the reason it's confusing to you is you're lost. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. So over here, when the man speaks of the words of God, what is it to a lost man? Foolish. I don't believe that. You have to be good to be saved. I've heard it all my life. You got to keep the commandments. Well, the Bible said back in Romans chapter 3, go back to Romans chapter 3, this isn't vague and ambiguous stuff. Hang on just a second. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. How many are righteous? There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Are you seeking God? No. They've all gone out of the way. They've together become unprofitable. Everybody. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. How many do good? You know what? I heard my dad say there's primarily none good. Hang on just a second. I haven't forgot you. You see, the problem is that there's none good, no, not one. That seems awfully foolish to us lost people, amen? I mean, you're telling me that Billy Graham isn't any good? The Pope? You see, a lost person would start to compare men with men. But they're not comparing men with God or the righteousness of God, which is by the law. And they realize that we all have come short the glory of God. Hannah? That's what a lost person would think. Huh? Yeah, well, but we can't. We can't keep the Ten Commandments. So what happens if you can't keep the commandments? You have to die and go to hell. And that's a problem with our society. So the realization is that in Romans chapter 3, all of this is coming back. He says in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, it doesn't matter, guys, if this is the glory of God that you got to reach. If you come this short, or if you're right there, if you're short, you're what? You got to cross the finish line. How many have crossed the finish line? None. Okay. So you hear the gospel and you believe it. Go to Romans chapter 10 now. So I want to start backwards. Romans chapter 10, I want to start in verse 17. In Romans 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So for a person to believe, they've got to do what? They've got to hear. Hearing is, you know what? People shut down their ears and say, little kids do it all the time. They go, na, 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 na. And what they're saying is, I don't want to hear you. And you know what? People are doing that exact same thing as grown-ups with the gospel. And that's why the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, I was going to read in Galatians chapter 5 what the fruit of the Spirit, one of it is long-suffering. Why? Man, listen, people oppose themselves, guys. That's what Timothy says. They oppose themselves. They're coming against themselves. They don't listen. They're not thinking that you're giving them a chance at eternal life. Listen, if I told you I had eternal life in this phone right here, and if you had this phone, you had eternal life, everybody in here ought to be begging for this phone. Why aren't they begging for the gospel? Because they've been taught and blinded by religion over and over. Hey, listen, the devil isn't in the bars. The devil isn't out there with just the drugs. The devil is behind the pulpit trying to blind the people into religion. And people say, why are you mad at religion? Hey, folks, it's put a veil over their eyes to keep them from seeing it. As it were, go to 2 Corinthians. I mean, this thing just goes on and on. I don't know if I'll get to everything I want to preach on. This may be a 5-week series. Y'all don't mind, do you? Go to Second Corinthians? Chapter 11. Hannah, why aren't you opening your Bible? Open your Bible. You're old enough to do that. Seth, you can read, can't you, son? Open y'all's Bible. Why are y'all just drink and write and draw pictures? Well, it'd be good to read along with us a little bit. Okay. 2 Corinthians 11. Did I tell you 11? I want to start in verse 13. Now watch this, guys. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Where would that apostleship be found? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's where the 12 apostles. Guess what churches are teaching? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. For there's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed in the ministers of what? Righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. On and on. Well, come on, guys. Who's doing it? Satan is out there having a ball. And he's having a ball because people today don't know what's going on. Look, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. People ask me all the time, why was Brother Moore so powerful preaching the gospel? He didn't use fancy words. He didn't try to impress you with his vocabulary. This is what he did. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, seeing that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Well, isn't that great? Why? And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the what? You know what that is? You might as well put the law. In the reading of the law. When the law is read, what's happening? A veil is. What are you getting a veil to? The finished work of Calvary's cross. The perfect shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what the veil is not wanting you to see. The veil is wanting you to see your own righteousness, your goodness, your greatness. And men love their own greatness. They stand in front of the mirror and they comb their hair and they shave their face so they look beautiful in them. They straighten up their shirts and press them so they can impress somebody. But you know what? They're not impressive to God. When God sees you, He sees you as a filthy, vile sinner. Rotten. That's right, berries rotten. Now, y'all don't be too quick to agree with that. Verse 15, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their what? Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty, freedom. But we all, with the open face, behold as a glass of the glory of the Lord, and change into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Boy, that's clear, isn't it? Therefore, chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we receive mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I was at a rescue mission, and I'd preached the gospel for 45 minutes. I got done and I asked those guys what the gospel was. You know what their answer was? The Bible, Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. There wasn't a single person in the room that could give me the gospel. What did I know about that entire room of 35 people? They're lost. Your lost condition is exposed to everybody but you. That's amazing, isn't it? everybody around you knows. Isn't that true, guys? Yeah, but what do we have to hear? We got to hear the words. Because we're not judging you based upon your action, because how many are good? We're not looking at your actions, because if we find your action, guess what I'm going to find? A sinner. We're not looking for your actions. We're listening for the words. Isn't that interesting? It's your words. What are you saying out your mouth? That's what we're listening for. So go to Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, after a person hears the gospel, his lips, those are terrible lips. Let me redraw these lips here, I'm sorry. Over on this side, these lips say something different than these lips used to say. You understand? These lips say something different. Now, I use these lips as the preacher, but I'm now making this the lost person's lips. You all understand? So don't get confused. I don't want to draw another set of lips. What would a lost person say over here? You ask them the question, if you were to die tonight, where would you go and why? What would a lost person say? I hope I go to heaven. I've had it 1,000 times. I was with Tony and Deborah Sunday. We went out to eat and asked the waitress. And she's kind of goth look, you know, gothic. 20-year-old, pretty sexy, beautiful woman. Well, I can tell you one thing about that girl that I absolutely 100% know for a fact. She's a rotten, low-down sinner just like me. Do you know what her answer was to that question? Her mouth professed that she was what? She said, I was good. She said, I hope to go to heaven. And I said, why? She said, I'm good. And she said, people judge me by my outside characteristics. And I said, well, would it surprise you? The Bible said there's none good, no, not one. That includes me. Really? She had heard something different than she ever heard before. She thought getting into heaven was being good. I would say 99.9% of the people have done that. And you know why? It's not because they were hanging out in the bars. It was from the pulpits of lost men preaching lost messages to a lost world and keeping the veil upon their eyes so they will not see and keep their tongues from confessing of the finished work of Calvary. But over here, I used to think, listen to me, I believe God would weigh out my good with my bad, and if my good outweighed my bad, God would let me in. I believe that as a lost man. What do I testify now to? That I'm not any good? How many times have I told you I'm not any good? About every time. Why? I want you to get it that I'm a sinner. I testify that there's nothing righteous about me. I've never been able to keep the commandments of God. I've dishonored my mother and my father. I've cursed. I've taken the Lord's name in vain. I haven't kept the Sabbath day. The only one on there that I think I've probably not done, and I'm not even sure of this, is murder. But James says in James 2 that if you keep the whole law, you have to offend in one point, you're guilty of them all. So I am a murderer. I am no good. There is nothing great about me. I heard that word from Brother Moore, and it finally got to my heart and convicted my heart. My heart was under conviction. How many here has ever felt conviction before? That conviction is the Holy Spirit working on your heart. Now you got to be careful, because the heart is deceitful. Sometimes you're not sure whether it's the Lord or the sad little stories you're hearing. Got to be careful. Heard some sad stories at times. Tugged on my heartstring. Thought it was the Lord. Found out it was a stupid story. Right? How many heard a sad story and really got moved thinking it was a spirit? Everybody in here has heard a sad story and got wrapped up in and thought, man, the spirit's moving tonight. In a small, still voice, oh, God's talking to me. Did you ever have that happen? We all had it happen. You gotta be able to distinguish, or your heart's deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't even know your own heart. So go to Romans chapter 10. That if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so there's a big debate. Do you have to confess in order to be saved? But if you come on down in the passage, for with the heart, man believeth unto what? Righteousness. And the example of that is in Romans chapter 4. Hold on here. Go to Romans chapter 4. Verse 1. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for what? It was accounted unto him for what? Imputed. It was placed upon him. Go back to Romans chapter 10. So with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You believe what the gospel is. What is the gospel? That Christ died for your sins. Hannah, sit down for a minute. We're almost done, honey. Anybody can hold their bladder for 1 hour, I can promise you. You know, just hang tight. We're not trying to, you're not being punished. It's just, you can handle it, trust me. Now watch. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, the question comes is, how do we know that you're saved? By what comes out your mouth. We're not judging your action. You know what most religious people do? They are watching you, whether you smoke or you drink or you look at the women or you look at that or do this or do that. They're judging you. And buddy, they're judgmental people, amen? I mean, they lay it on you. Well, you're not fit to come to this church. You need to dress up. You need to do that. Well, the moment you hear the gospel, what is the gospel? That Christ died for our sins. How many? Colossians says all of them. Thank God. Amen. I mean, guys, folks, I'm telling you, I have got a bucket load. There's my life. Here's my birthday. That's in January. Over here is my death day. I don't know when that is. This is my life. In there, from the time I was little until now, I've committed sins and I've not changed being a sinner. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ went to that cross and became sin for me. Who knew no sin. There was no wages of sin is death on him. He died because he became a sinner. How did he be? He chose to take your sin in Calvary. You hear that. You get convicted. You know why? You know you're an adulterer. Amazing to me. People who have a hard time with it. And I'm a good person. Many of you guys have committed adultery already in your heart. I'd hate to see some of the politician brains. Wouldn't you? Whoo! You see, they want to put a moral law. And they want to control you and your morality. But they themselves are immoral. You ought to read Matthew 23 about the Pharisees. That's exactly what they wanted to do. And I saw at Calvary's cross my sins. And my sin was laid upon him at that tree. And that God isn't holding me accountable for those sins anymore. And so now my mouth confesses of something different. I hear people say all the time, well, I got saved, I walked the aisle for Jesus. I said the sinner's prayer. I joined the church. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. How many times have you been baptized, Stan? How many times did you walk the aisle for Jesus? Did you hear that? He said twice was he baptized and he walked the aisle. Patty, how about you? Carlton? How many times did you walk the aisle? Why? You're trying to get rid of the guilt. The guilt's there. But you never got rid of it because you know why? You thought you had to be good. And you know what? You confess to that. You know what most people say? Well, up until the point of your salvation right here, I understand you're a sinner over here. But over here, you got to keep the law. Amen? And so you get on that treadmill and you work it out. But you know what? You find that you fall off the treadmill. Amen? Boom, you fall off. Why? You're not any good. Doesn't matter how much you get on that treadmill. Say, oh, I'm going to conquer this treadmill. Nobody's conquered the treadmill. There's none good, no, not one. All have sinned. Everybody that got on the treadmill fell off. Yeah, but they told me I had to be good. And so you get on that treadmill and you're just a hustling down that treadmill thinking that you're not smoking, drinking, playing cards. You're not doing anything bad. And the people are seeing you as a great Christian guy. You know what you are? You're a filthy, rotten, low-down sinner. And you covered it up with fig leaves like they did in the garden. Amen? And you hear the gospel and so you try to come up with some excuse why you got fig leaves all over. Well, I was trying to please the Lord. See, your mouth is your problem. Your confession is your problem. What you're testifying of is your problem. That's the problem. And what it's reflecting, the problem lies right here in your heart. Not your physical heart. It's not your physical lips. You can't believe with the heart. The heart just pumps. You believe with the emotional heart that a man is. And you testify that emotional heart with your mouth. Only way we know. So with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For what saith the Scripture? Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Didn't say prayer. Say call upon him. Lord, I need you now. I know, I hear the preacher telling me the truth. I am lost. There ain't anything good about me. And I realize that. You know what? I spent 2 hours trying to talk to the Lord, trying to convince him that if I was lost, he should save me. God didn't want to hear that. You know what the truth of the matter was? It wasn't if I was lost. The matter was, I was lost. And Terry and I were talking about this just Sunday, weren't we? On the phone, I called Terry and tried to encourage him. Brother in Christ, and we talk for hours about the gospel and about things that are important. It's not NASCAR. It's not Alabama football. Sorry, Deb. It's the most important thing in my life, though. It is truly the only important thing. You know what? I faked it. You know, I'll never forget Brother Moore. About 2 weeks or 3 weeks after I came, he didn't like me dating Brenda. What is this bum dating Brenda? And Brenda was a pillar in the church, got her family going, got her family saved. And I'll tell you how stupid I was. Brother Moore used to wear glasses, and he would look over those glasses, and he said, Barry, are you saved? And I said, yes, sir, Brother Moore. I'm saved. Man, listen, I was sleeping homeless out on the thing, and on the eighth day, I saw this enormous light. You know, Brother Moore saying, this guy's full of the woolly woolies. He is lying up his teeth. You know what's telling on me? Powerful words. I'm listening to your words, and I know. Trust me. I know if you're lost or saved. How many times have you heard someone testify that said, I want to give a testimony, and you heard it, and you thought they were lost? Larry? Couple? Dan? Terry? Any doubt in your mind that those people were lost? You know, the only doubt was that they thought they were saved. You know why? The heart is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. And we're listening with our ears too. Except now we have the ears and the mind of Christ. And we're listening. I appreciate Patty a lot. And Carl. She said, with all they've been through, there are probably very few churches that would let them in. That's probably true. Here it doesn't matter to us. What comes out their mouth that matters to us. Isn't that great? You don't have to impress me, guys. Exactly. It had nothing to do with that. But that's what they're convinced by. Where did they get that information? From the pulpit. So the heart believeth unto righteousness, and he says, whosoever shall call upon them. You hear the gospel, and go to Psalms 32. Go to Psalms 32. People who force you into getting baptized, people forcing you into walking the aisle, you know what they're doing? They're basically damning you to hell. Because you're going to start to be convinced that you're, now Christianity is something you did instead of the finished work of Calvary's cross. That's the problem. But see, the devil are in the details. In Psalms 32, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Listen, here's a calendar right here. This calendar is running through your life. And there has to be a day in which you testify. Now, here's the deal with the day. You don't have to remember the D-A-T-E. You have to remember the moment. About a D-A-T-E, I just happen to know mine's that Thursday, right after he preached, the week before I went to college, which was Tuesday. First day of college was Tuesday. It's all I know. I think I looked it up and found it was the 24th, but that wasn't the issue. I got saved that Thursday morning in a bathroom around 10 or 11 o'clock. I know where I was, what I believed, and what changed in my mind. There has to be a moment. I wrote a song one time. It's a moment in time. Because it happens just like that. And you know, people testify. I had this guy, Mr. Smith, used to come to church with us, started the fellowship back 23 years ago. And Mr. Smith, listen to me, said, well, if I didn't get saved at 8, I got saved when I was 33. If I didn't get saved at 33, I got saved 56. And if I didn't get saved then, I got saved when I heard Brother Moore. Now, what do you think of a person that tells me those things? He doesn't have a what? There isn't a moment that he knows that he went from being lost to saved. I'm listening to his mouth. Listen, I can testify. Stan, can you tell me where you were when you got saved? Who was the first person you told? Deborah, when did you get saved? Terry, when did you get saved? Everybody's got a moment. And you know what? God's going to judge you whether you're lying about that moment. He knows. Here's the deal. God knows. It isn't any doubt in God's mind. Now, could you make up a date? Testify of it? Make yourself sound saved? Here's the problem. God knows whether that was a date. Heard a man stand behind the pulpit not too long ago. Got saved when he was 8. In this thing and that, you got to be careful what you say. People start to wonder, when did you get saved? Because we're listening to the confession of your what? Your mouth. We're not looking at your actions. When we listen to your words. I think it's John 12. Go to John 12. I'm not sure if it is or not. It jumped in my mind. I have no idea, but I'm going to go there. So I hope you'll follow me. John 12, verse 44. Hey guys, this isn't a play game with me. I'm not up here because I'm the brightest man in the room. That'd probably be Tony or Larry. He's an architect. Tony's read everything under the sun. I'm not the smartest man. I'm up here because I know where I was the moment I got saved. And God has revealed His Word unto me through teaching. I thank God for that. 44, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on Him that sent me. He that seeth me seeth Him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And let me tell you what. Guess what? Have you ever wondered why people are in the dark? It's because the light hadn't come on. Guess what happens the moment you get saved? The light comes on. All of a sudden, things in the Scripture that Dale was talking about, confusing is all of a sudden go, oh, that's what it means. Now watch. And if any man hear my words and believeth not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. What's going to judge you? The words. And you're telling me the words aren't important? Preach the word. So the preacher stands up even though he's not any good. The preacher stands up because he hasn't changed. He's still rotten. He has evil thoughts in his mind. And he tries to bring it on into captivity, but he realizes he's a failure. But he stands up anyway and preaches to you that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Why? Because the believer can hear the words and believe in their heart. And then later confession is made unto salvation. Hey, I just trusted the Lord, guys. You know what? I wouldn't even open my mouth if I didn't know I was saved. As Wayne said, open mouth, insert foot. You know? Best to be quiet, isn't it? But you know what? That's the way it is. What's going to do it? The words. How can two walk together except they be agreed? I'm in agreement with the word. I'm not opposing. You ever get in an argument about a Bible and you get to talking to someone that they're ignorant and they're talking about, I have to clean up my life and all that, and say, well, could you show me that in the Bible? Because if that is a requirement, I want to do that too. Well, I don't know. I always talk to people, and you know what? You win an argument by being cool and collective. If you get excited, that's why all these Republicans shouting at these town meetings aren't the best way to do it. It's gotten their attention, but hey, now you got to come up with better words. Because you know what? Words mean something. Just relax. If you're right, it'll come out. If you're wrong, you'll be condemned. You know what God does? He justifies the righteous and he condemns the wicked. Deuteronomy 25. That's what he does. So he's offering righteousness to everyone that will believe with their heart. He's willing to make you righteousness. You're never going to be righteousness on your own, but he has the ability to take his righteousness and give it to you, Dale. So you're righteous. Now, you're telling me that God gave you his righteousness and you wouldn't want to tell anybody? Nobody? God gives you his own righteousness and allows you to already be seated together in heavenly places. Aren't we already seated? And not trying to get there. He gives you his righteousness. And we're already there. We're not striving for it. And you don't want to tell anybody that. That's a little weird to me. That is a little strange to me. Why wouldn't your mouth go around going, "Praise the Lord! I'm free! Praise the Lord!" People say, "Why did I know I was called to preach?" From the moment I got saved, I wanted to tell everybody I knew. I went to my senior year in college. I was in my senior year, and I carried all my books and my Bible. And everybody I sat down with, I showed the gospel to. Everybody. I got out, and I started working for Kmart Corporation. And every customer I could get to hear me, every employee that I could sit down with, every manager, every district manager, I testified to them about the gospel. How many people have you witnessed to, Terry, on your work? You do because you want them to have eternal life. So, well, I can't do that. Then you might not have the gospel. Because you want to tell somebody. You're just itching inside to tell somebody. Have you witnessed to someone, Larry? It feels bad, doesn't it? How does it feel when you do witness? Man, you got, hey, come on, man. You got something exciting to tell. I want to tell the world. What? That God loved them and gave his son to die for them at Calvary's cross. And that they could be free. And they don't have to get on that treadmill anymore. Burn the daggum treadmill. Amen. You're in. What do you have to do? Call upon the name of the Lord. How do you do that? With your heart. You can do it sitting right there, or you can do it right now on the internet. You can get saved. So I've been faking it for years. You may very well be. You may actually be sitting in the living room watching me on the internet. Maybe it's on TV and you've plugged your internet in and you're sitting there watching and you've been faking it this whole time. Right now, you could trust the Lord. Right now, you could trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the moment you're due, the moment you believe, you are complete in him. You're as righteous, are you listening to me, as a holy and righteous God. You lack nothing in capacity. Guys, listen to me. This is the most incredible message. I do not understand, listen to me, why this room is not full. I don't. I don't understand why you won't make the effort to go tell people and get them here. You know what? I'd be ashamed. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of it. He let it known. Say, well, he's our example. Amen, he's our example. How many people here need that freedom we're talking about? 99.9% of the living world, and you've got the key to unlock. You've got the gospel. Now I want to read one last verse that's in Matthew. I'm not sure. Let me get the verse here. Not Matthew. Where does it talk about the lawyer? Where he talks about the lawyers don't enter in. It isn't Matthew. I just need the chapter and verse. It's 52 is the verse. I know that. I can't find it. I'm not going to waste your time. Basically, he said the lawyers have taken the keys of eternal life and thrown them away. You know why? They're legalists. And you know, no matter what you do, y'all don't turn your pages. It's fine. We'll find it. It's in there. It says, woe unto you lawyers and scribes. You have taken away eternal life, thrown away the key. You don't enter in, and you don't allow others to enter in. And you know what? Listen, let me tell you what. That's exactly what religion has done to you. And you know what breaks through? According to this Bible, the glorious gospel of the grace of God. What is that? That Jesus Christ went to that cross and was made sin for you, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Why couldn't you testify of that? And that's it. That's it. Now, I'm done.